my agenda. I'm calling this meeting of the Moapa Town Advisory Board to order. Is anybody like to offer a prayer? You or no? Okay. Then if y'all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and if we could do a roll call.
Callie Wade.
Lola Egan.
Blake Stratton.
Mike Abbott.
Name?
Judy Mann, Secretary.
Okay. At this time, there's public comments. If anybody would like to make any comments on the items on the agenda, which is a zoning issue, or you can make comments during, at the time we hear the presentation on the zoning issue. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to make comments? Okay, moving right along. The next agenda item is the approval of minutes for May 9th.
I vote we approve the minutes. I cannot talk for May 9th.
Kelly's made the motion to approve the minutes for May 9th, 2023.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Who made the second?
Blake. Okay, all approved. And at this point, we need to approve the agenda for this meeting today, June 27th, 2023. Are there any changes that anybody would like to make to the agenda?
No.
Okay, I make the motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, aye. At this time, there's no informational items on the agenda, so we'll move to planning and zoning. As UC230242 Nevada Power Company use permits for public utility structures, including the following: a battery energy storage system, electrical substation with associated equipment, and a 230 kV overhead transmission line. And they're requesting waivers of development standards for the following: landscaping and off-site improvements for curbs, gutters, sidewalks, streetlights, and paving. Is there anyone here from the from Nevada Power to do a presentation? Great. If you'd come up, state your name and.
Would you like me to stand or anywhere special?
Anywhere, yeah. Anywhere is good for you.
Okay. My name is Mark Sullivan. I work with NV Energy, and I'm here to talk to you about our battery energy storage system. And like you said, there are a couple of anomalies that go along with it, like the landscaping, the off-sites, which I'll cover those. And basically what this is a battery system. It's 220 megawatts, and that will run for 2 hours. And it, what happens is it's tied to the grid through, as you saw and you read out, there's a transmission line. It comes out of these batteries, it goes into a substation, and then it ties to the existing substation that's there. The site is actually a brownfield site. It's where our coal-fired plant used to be. So it's laid right over top of that, north of the substation that's existing. And the project itself is designed for peak time hours. We really don't need, we actually have quite a bit of shortage. We have about 3,000 megawatts of shortage in our system overall that we're working on filling. But this is really just to help with peak times, because we don't have the energy that's available in the marketplace sometimes. And when it is available in the marketplace, it's extremely expensive at peak times. So this will help us kind of fill that peak void when there's shortages in the market. So our shortages in the system. And the system itself, it will operate 24/7, 365 days a year. There'll be maintenance a couple of times a year. So portions of the system will take down, do maintenance on, and bring it back up and do other portions. The location is approximately about a mile away from our closest neighbor. So it's really, if you're familiar with the site, it's on Wally K Way, which is one of the reasons that we're requesting no off-sites. It's a private road, and nobody can really see the site. It's surrounded basically by whether it's roads or buttes or little areas of hills, and it's kind of in an area that's relatively low. It's adjacent to a substation that's going to have similar type structures as a substation that we're proposing. You know, I think the tallest thing out there right now is a communication tower. It's about 185 feet. The tallest structures in our substation are typically the A-frame that's coming in. That's usually at the very peak with lightning arrestors at the very top of those antennas. And those masts are relatively small. They're, you know, maybe a 4-inch mast shrinking down to a couple inches at the top, and those maybe reach 65 feet. I don't know if there's any particular questions that you have. The drawing that I provided you with there kind of gives you a layout of what the substation looks like. The facility is on the north. The facility is on the north side. You can see it's 208 units of batteries. There's some inverters and transformers that hook to those, and they gather the power, send it to the substation. It's kind of an intermediary to the substation that's existing today. If you go to the next page, it'll give you a little bit of an idea. They're kind of like cargo containers size-wise. So that's not the exact unit that we're going to be using, but it's very similar to the type of unit that we're going to be using. Those will be put back-to-back. They are piped. We have an internal piping system that we can hook to in case there is some event inside them to extinguish them. If you look at the next picture, that kind of gives you a layout. Again, this is a relatively new technology, so we don't have a lot of pictures out there of what it would look like, but that's very similar. The inverter transformers are going to be a little bit different with ours, but the back-to-back batteries, I mean, that kind of gives you an illustration of what it is that we're doing. I think one of the things that we work with the county on some of the issues, and we continue to work with them. One of them I know from talking to Judy was making sure that we coordinate with the fire department. We have gotten a hold of the fire chief, and we're going to set something up with them. We just also plan on doing after construction, but prior to commissioning, we'll invite all the first responders out so they can take a look at it. We can explain the system to them. They can be familiar with the site. And hopefully that'll help with the familiarity if there ever is a need for a response. And I don't really have a whole bunch more than that. I think, you know, the waivers, when we talked about those, it's because it's such a remote site. There's really not a lot of need for it. Like I said, the curb and gutter street and landscaping, there's really no benefit when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
This picture that we're looking at here, where is that?
That's in California. I'm not exactly 100% sure of that site, where that site is.
It's in California, I'm not sure exactly. It's the same technology that we'll be using the batteries.
What are the batteries made out of?
They're lithium ion.
Is it similar to the Shucker battery station they have up by Tracy? Is it similar,
yep.
Make, same?
It's not similar. It's not the same make, but the design is the same
similar.
Type of, yeah.
So I know they had a fire up there at theirs, and I'm an MV Energy employee.
So why are you harassing us, man? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well,
I'm just kidding.
It's going to get a lot worse.
No, I'm familiar with that. I permitted that site. So.
Yeah, so what was, can you explain to us the fire that happened up there and what was involved with that, why that happened, or what to expect if there's a fire and where the fumes go?
Yeah, so what ended up happening is it's a thermal fire, so it's not the same as what you typically think that you're going to extinguish.
Okay.
Typically what you do is you wait those out. Well, if you're an employee, I'm sure, and I don't know what you do for the company, but it's not any different than a transformer fire. It's mineral oil.
Right,
you know,
right.
You're not going to go put those out.
Right, right.
You know, you sit outside the fence, you wait for it to go. If anything happens, we call fire, they respond the same as we do, and we already have an agreed upon plan of action, how we're going to take care of that. And so, and this is very much the same. These are pretty much a wait out. The system that they had up there, it was an extinguishing system that was, they were all internal to those containers, but it only lasts for a period of time, and that period of time didn't extinguish it. So usually those are kick on with sensors. And so when those sensors go off, then it kicks on and extinguishes it right away, so it doesn't get.
So do they have, like, Halon or something, or what do they have to? Is that what they're using to extinguish the fire with, or?
I don't know what they used up there, but I know it didn't work, so they had to. I mean, they just waited it out until it burned out.
Right, right. And then how much of the facility did it take out?
I think it was just isolated to that one container, to the best
just
of my
one
knowledge.
Container.
Yeah.
So like.
And the same with these spacing. These are spaced so that they don't spread. So it's contained to just the one.
Gotcha.
If that were to happen.
Okay.
And again, we'll work with your guys as first responders in the fire. We just got a hold of the fire chief today, and so we're going to set an appointment up with him and talk to him, go over this with him, so he's comfortable with what we're doing. We can develop a plan together.
And how many of these container units?
208.
208. Okay. Does anyone on the board have any more questions? Anyone in the public have any questions or comments?
What was the cost on this? Do you know what it was?
You know what? I don't know. I haven't had that conversation. I mean, I have some folks here in the audience. I don't know that they have that information. Project cost?
The whole project? About $250 million.
And you are?
Jeremy Lunkish.
Okay.
He's with Envy Energy also. Okay. My apologies. I was going to introduce these guys, and I thought if we need to talk to them, you guys can talk to them.
Okay. Question for Overton Power. Is this part of that solar plant that you guys came to us before about? This is totally separate.
Totally separate.
Is this something that you guys will be utilizing, or is that just general?
So, just for the record, this Mendes Cooper, General Manager at Overton Power, there will be some indirect benefits that we get from this project. You read the papers. You know that the whole country is moving toward renewable energy.
Right.
But unfortunately, solar and wind is not equal to coal and to natural gas.
Right.
And so you have to have batteries as a component of this. So the benefit that Overton Power gets from this project is it adds some reliability to the system, because if the system goes out, we go out with it.
Right.
So that's the indirect benefit that we have with it. Additionally, we probably gain a little bit of voltage support and thing like that, mm-hmm. from this being located so close to us. But we were here to learn, just like you guys, we're not part of the project. And like I say, indirect benefits, we're not involved in the project at all. Our solar facility is not gonna have any battery components, because batteries are so expensive. A utility of our size doesn't have $100 million to throw into batteries.
Okay. So out of curiosity, you know, you guys had there was a fire at this Nevada Power facility a few years ago, and there was a delay with getting it out. Mm-hmm. Will this change that at all or not, if there is an issue?
You'll have to ask Nevada Power that. I've emailed Doug Cannon, and he hasn't responded.
Yeah. Okay.
And I apologize. What was the question you
asked?
Okay,
a few years ago, there was a fire at the existing transformer station on the property.
We had a transmission pole that caught on fire.
Yeah.
Okay. And it took NV Energy 5 hours to come out here and energize the facility.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was just for one pole.
Yeah.
Regardener's gone.
That was for one pole, and it was simply a visual verification that they could.
But it took Nevada Energy a long time to get out here, and that affected the whole valley's power mm-hmm. a lot. I'm asking, is this facility going to make it easier if there's an issue up there for people to get in and get the fire out quicker, so we're not without power?
And I'm not familiar with it. I've talked to some people about that specific fire, and I don't know what the circumstances are. I know we have another individual here, Matt Johns. I don't know if you have a familiarity with that.
Yeah, Matt Johns with NV Energy. Mm-hmm. You know, the pole that caught fire a couple years ago, it was a wood pole.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And then it connects to your pole outside the switcher.
Yeah, so it was your last pole.
Yeah.
That's right before our first pole outside.
With a metal pole as well to correct that issue.
But it took Nevada Power a long time to even respond before they could start to put the fire out. And that's the question. Will the response time from Nevada Power be quicker if we, you know, once this is set up?
Think so, and this is separate from the switchyard. There's a separate substation from the switchyard as well.
And this one doesn't hook back into your grid on this side at all.
Well, it'll ultimately be tied in, but he's saying there's a different component that will be connected in there. So there will be some breakers on the battery side, I'm assuming, that are going to open that up if there's a problem.
I guess my question is there going to be a more active presence here, that this is not going to delay things as much, is my question. When this happens, is there going to be a more active presence?
Are there going to be people at the facility at all times?
There are people there full time now. Well, Monday through Thursday, at least. I know I talked to one of them today, but I don't.
That would be putting out a fire.
No, but they would be aware that it's there so they can respond.
They didn't need to put it out. They needed to say, yeah, they could go in.
You can go in to put it out.
Are they staffing? Is this going to be staffed at all, a staff facility?
Typically, there's not staffing. So there's maintenance. We go out and do inspections, and if there's any maintenance, then we'll be there to do maintenance also, in addition to the regular maintenance schedule that I had mentioned. But as far as response time, and this, like you say, is separate and away from, certainly, you know, all you could do is take care of what the issues were. I mean, that was an isolated issue because it was a wood pole. We don't have a wood pole there anymore. So coming out of the batteries, going into a substation, and then it goes into the substation that you're referring to, where the point of interconnection was the last pole before it went into Overton's transmission.
My issue wasn't the power pole burning. My issue was your time frame of your Nevada Power's response time to their fire. It was slow. It was very slow. We were without power for a long time. A lot of unhappy people. I'm sure Mendes knows about that in Randall.
Right. Well, and certainly our, you know, one of the metrics we use that we get measured by as a company is outage times and number of people that are out. Mm-hmm. And so we try to respond to that as quick as possible. I don't know what time of day that was or if it was a nighttime and that was one of the issues is getting somebody called out and bring them out to be able to fix the problem. But that's how we make money, is having you hooked up. We like to have you hooked up. So if you're not hooked up to power,
we go through Overton Power.
We don't go
through you. We're not happy. You guys aren't our power provider.
Well, but then Overton would be, right? No. We provide transmission to them out of our substation, right, through that transmission line.
Yeah, your own transmission.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so and one of the issues that we're doing right now is actually we have another line that we're in the process. Actually, I've submitted the information already to the county for an additional line. So you guys will have two sources of power feeding the tortoise sub. And so if one of those did go out, you would have another backup line. And I think that was part of one of those issues. Is again, it's a resolution to the problem. It's not necessarily a solution to that, the time of outage.
Yeah. So it's not, there will not be somebody monitoring it on site. Will it be monitored remotely? And where is that monitored? Like,
yeah, the newer technology,
response time?
Yeah, the newer technology with our substation, you can monitor that stuff remotely with the telemetry. So the information, you can get that feedback, and it's almost instantaneous. And actually, one of the things that you guys had approved on that site was a telecommunications tower for those types of communications with the facilities there.
Does this have any water use component to it?
It does not.
Because I know that was one of the staff comments. Was the water, their water use, that you guys couldn't use any kind of water cooling?
Yeah, we're not going to be using water.
Okay. Any questions from anybody besides me? Any questions from the audience? Somebody want to make a motion?
So, Mendes, is this a net positive? Just seems like such a waste of money, but that's not why we're here. I understand that, but anyway.
Yeah, you've asked me two separate questions there. Yeah, it's unfortunate that you have to spend that kind of money to run the power system, but that's the legislative and political and environmental situation that we're in. They have to. I feel that they have to do this to keep their system operating and be able to support us. So do I love the way that the industry is going? No, but this is something that I feel that Nevada Power has to do to keep the system integrity intact.
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry. The panels that feed these batteries, is that what happens?
How it works is it's actually recharged in off-peak hours when energy costs are low and we have excess capacity.
From
the electric grid, not from the solar. We're working with our optimization group to work on a plan to be able to do it from solar also, if that were something that had excess capacity. But right now the plan is to do it through existing transmission. So it's just in the evening, as an example, when the peak goes down, say after 9 or 10 o'clock at night, not a lot of people are using power. They'll start charging those batteries up, and then they'll kick on when the peak comes on, you know, 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
So these are being charged off from the grid. So AC, this is a DC, right?
No, it's not charged off. It's, yeah, charged from the grid. I don't. When you say off the grid, it's off grid. It's not. It's on grid.
Okay. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. See if it's where if it's fed from, if there's another location closer to that point, or you run out, you got a transmission line running through there anyway, right?
There's a bunch of them over there, yeah. I think there's probably 5 or 6 transmission lines over there. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. So how many hours a year do you plan on this running? What's the model based on?
95% optimization.
What does that mean?
It means that 95% of the time we'll be getting 220 megawatts for 2 hours. So that's the capacity that we are running our model on.
Right. So how often are we getting those two? How often will you be calling on those 2 hours?
Well, you can do it every day, right? Because you're refilling it every night, and it's going to charge back up, and then you can use it.
So they plan on it cycling every day. And then when it cycles in, does it cycle in all three blocks, or does it cycle in percent pieces of the pie? How does it cycle in?
I don't know on the cycling, Jeremy, do you know?
Yeah, so there's per the manufacturer, we're allowed to cycle it twice per day. So they'll probably charge it in the morning, run it out at night, and then charge it again at night, and then run it down. Like Mark said, we're working with our optimization folks to understand that. As far as which ones, you know, it's got a distributed control system that controls everything. So there's going to be 4 different circuits, and the batteries will roughly be split up between the 4 circuits. So if they have, say they've got an outage on one of the circuits, they've got one of the circuits down, then the other circuits will pick up and they'll produce more energy while the batteries are down. So it's not like they're all going to produce probably the same amount
all
the time. It'll depend on which ones are out.
It's like having 4 units or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. You're
so. Is there something in place for the, if these cells do go bad, are you going to be storing the, you replace them, you haul them out and dispose of them? Or
yes.
You're not going to store them
on site, we'll replace them. We'll do kind of an augmentation. You know, those will happen during what I would call like a major outage type of thing during the year. So we'll take the whole site down for a week or two, we'll go and replace some battery cells, then we'll take them off site, and then we'll re-energize the plant. So it's going to be done, you know, the augmentation to the battery cells, that'll be done on a very rigorous frequency schedule. You know, we'll determine exactly when the batteries are going to degrade to a point where they need to be replaced, and then we'll do kind of a...
So there'll be no provisions here for disposal of battery? So.
Not on site, no.
Now you're saying that it's going to shut down for certain period, like 2 weeks?
Yeah, we have to do maintenance on it twice a year just to maintain the warranty on the battery. So
the whole thing or each section?
They'll probably take it down in circuits, you know, by circuits. So we don't have the whole plant down at the same time. They'll probably take one circuit down, do that maintenance, bring that one back on, just so we don't
have a consistent,
just so we can avoid complete outage on the entire facility.
And what's the cycle life on this plant? Like, how long do they, what's the longevity of it?
What do we expect? 20 years.
20 years.
20-year lifetime, yes.
And then do they have a demolition plan for it, or what's the, or the, would they just move to new technology, or what would they do then?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and the batteries do degrade over time, so they don't last forever. And we have been working with our manufacturer to understand, you know, basically what that looks like. So at the end of life, they'll be taken off site, disposed of, and probably replaced. I mean, 20 years is a long way away, so we don't know exactly what we're going to do, but that's kind of the high-level concept that we're looking at.
So Reed Gardner was always flooding the MCCs and this and that back in the day when we'd have good storms and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be elevated above that flood level?
So we're going to import 35,000 yards of dirt onto the site where the cooling towers were, and it's going to raise the site up above that 100-year flood event elevation. So at the south, the southern end of the footprint that you see there, we'll raise the grade by 5 to 6 feet. At the northern end, it'd be like 2 feet, just because the existing grade kind of slopes to the south.
Right.
But we will have to raise the grade just to get the batteries out of the flood.
Is that where they're all
the These aren't dry. There's liquid in these? In the
batteries?
In the cells, yeah.
No, they're dry.
They're dry? Okay. Yeah. It's close to the river, that's why.
Right, no liquids here.
There you go.
So just a clarification, Judy, are we strictly doing the waiver of offsites? Is that what this agenda item is for, or the approval of the use plan?
You're doing approval on all three of those things.
Okay.
And you can do, if you want to do them separately, you can, or you can do them all three together.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
I understood that part of the plan was to do something with the existing switchyard to prevent flooding again. Is that still going to happen, or is that by the wayside?
That's not a part of this.
That's not part of this project?
This part, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that they are going to install a wall around the switchyard. That's in the works.
Okay.
We're not doing it now, but it's in the future.
Perfect.
It's still being worked on. This.
Either a wall, or we've been working on stormwater drainage around the site through water out west.
Good. We'd really appreciate that.
But it's a project that's being looked at.
Good. Good. When I didn't hear it here, I thought maybe it had been
separate from this battery.
Okay. And then one other question. Do you know, I'm a little surprised you're only running the batteries 2 hours. Do you have an idea of what time that's going to be?
Usually it's peak time. I don't know if you model that.
No, I don't have that in front of me, but I know that my first thing in the morning when everybody's getting ready for work, and then that's one of the few times that we're trying to cover, and then right during dinner time, kind of when we lose the solar power, and when people are getting home from work, and that's when the power increases that too. But we're still modeling and playing with it. We haven't optimized the operation of it yet. It's still somewhat to be determined, but that's kind of a high-level concept what we're looking at right now.
The reason I ask that is the California Independent System Operator deployed their batteries last summer from about 1 to 4.
Okay.
The peak is from 5 to 8.
Yep.
And they deployed them early simply for a financial gain.
Hmm.
Not because it would cover peak.
My first thought is they did it because it was in California.
No, I mean, we have reliability issues during peak, so I don't foresee that. I mean, we need these for reliability because we are concerned about getting enough power when it's really hot out.
Good. It's good. So that's what I'd like.
We're going to discharge them during peak periods.
Yes. Good.
What are the benefits for Moapa Town for this?
Well, we're not going to be exposed, and some of the power that we provide is we provide it to you guys. And when we have shortages, and not just the reliability issue, but the actually ability to purchase power, but when we have shortages, we purchase on the open market, and the cost of that is rather expensive. So this will give us the ability to not be exposed to that open market and be able to keep costs down. So when those pass through, from that substation to Tortoise 2, which my understanding is surge.
Are there any other comments or questions? Over to Val, you have any more?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for allowing me to ask.
Oh, no, that's why we're here.
Just put some peakers out there.
We're working on it. We actually have two 200 megawatt peakers that we're working on getting permitted at Silverhawk. So timing wise, it's just not ready to go. We're having some permitting, getting through the permitting process with those. So
do you ever find some 3 or 4 acres to park your equipment on out there or park at? My boss, that's where I work, is at Silverhawk, and he was running like a chicken with his head cut off because he couldn't find a place to park because they didn't anyway. It's ridiculous, but we got them fixed up. But anyway, I don't know, whatever do we have to do, make a motion?
Yeah.
Do you want to vote on all three independently or all together?
Let's do all three together.
Like,
okay.
if you're going to vote, you need to state.
Okay, state.
That you would, that you're an employee of that, but you do not feel that that will interfere.
Okay.
With your vote, if you're going to vote.
Okay. So, and then I need.
I'll make the motion.
You'll make the motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I make a motion. We approve the UC 230242 Nevada Power Company. The approve the use permit, the waivers of development standards, and approve the design review.
Second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
I'm voting, and I've worked for MV Energy. I'm stating that I've worked for MV Energy. I do not feel like this is a conflict of interest, and I am voting for it.
Okay, so all in favor then? Is there any general business that anybody needs to bring up that's not on the agenda?
Yeah.
Yeah?
My wife has a concern over the open gym
policy.
Should I just talk to John about that? Stasny?
What do you
mean? Oh, there's, they want to pitch or they want to do some softball stuff in there and they can't because open gym turned into, no, now it's volleyball because they don't want pitching in there or doing something. And so
they're like double scheduling and they're not putting the WAPA first. And
yeah, so
there's
anyway.
A lot of issues. I think for something like that, I think that's something that we go to Judy and say, let's have John come and let's have a discussion.
Okay.
Or at least a neighborhood meeting type thing for that.
Let's do that.
So Judy, can we get that?
Yep.
Thank you.
Any comments from the general public on anything, not necessarily on the agenda?
I wanted to just say, I don't even know how to say it really, but props to our first responders lately. This last weekend was rough on them. We were traveling back from Utah and hit the that big truck trailer that caught on fire with all the grain, and it was 3:30 that it caught on fire around about then, and when we came through it was almost 8, and I know they were there more hours after that, and then at midnight they're back out again at another car fire at the Moapa exit. So that was a lot of hours on them, and I really appreciate them being out in the heat and the fire and just being there for our community.
Okay, is there any other comments or questions from the public? Okay, I'll adjourn this. Our next meeting will be on July 11th, 2023.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.